everyone. Are you ready to worship and exalt your Savior today? If so, stand up and let's sing a Christmas song this morning.
Said that's why we're here this morning, to adore and worship our Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Sunday morning that we can come and adore you and worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we just pray your blessing upon this service this morning. We just thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to come, to worship, to be here in your presence. We give you all praise and glory. Have your way in this service. We ask in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Take a moment to greet those around you. Tell them you're glad to see them this morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Well, that's some of you. Everybody doing all right? Woohoo! Give a woohoo. All right, there we go. Now we know you're awake. Well, we are glad that you are here worshiping our Savior this morning. I just want to say thank you for being here. And if you are a guest, maybe this is your first time, maybe first time in a long time, we want to say welcome or welcome back. We want to say thank you to all those watching online. But if you are a guest with us this morning, if you take the time, there's a card you can find in the seat there in front of you in the little back. You can fill that out and drop that in the offering here just a little bit, and we are glad that you are here. And this is a great time as we approach Christmas to, if you've got a neighbor, a friend who maybe doesn't go to church or hasn't been to church in a while, it's a great opportunity to invite them to come to church with you. Amen? Amen. We have a lot of announcements. How many of you got a bulletin? Raise up your bulletin. Yeah, okay. This is an important time of year for sure to be reading your bulletin. We got a lot going on. We've got a schedule in there for all the upcoming events, from Christmas plays to outings to parties. So make sure you're reading your bulletin. I'm not going to go through all of those. But do want to remind you, tonight the men are going to Rudy's Barbecue at 6 o'clock. So if you are a man and you like barbecue and would like to come fellowship, you can plan to be here. Or are we, Pastor, are we meeting directly there? So Rudy's Barbecue, if you don't know where it's at, just off, I think that's Chautauqua. And so Rudy's Barbecue here in Norman at 6 o'clock. If you want to be there, be there. And we look forward to seeing you. Also want to say our tree and our Christmas decorations look great. All these presents here are going to our outreach this Saturday at Christmas for the City. So I want to say thank you to all of you that have prepared a Christmas gift and all of you that have signed up. If you have not signed up and would like to continue to be a part of that, we will be leaving the church Saturday morning, headed up to Inner City Assembly of God. If you are planning to be there, be here a little before 9, and we are leaving at 9 o'clock. It's our big outreach. We are in charge of the food. We'll be delivering all the presents, and it's a tremendous outreach and blessing. So I want to say thank you for those who have prepared a gift, those of you that are planning to sign up. And if you just say, hey, I can't go next week, or I'd like to help out, you can still donate to that cause, and that will definitely go towards this outreach. So I want to say thank you for that, and looking forward to getting together and being a blessing next week. Lots of other stuff in there. I want to say thank you. We were able to, you guys raise the funds for the truck for Chi Alpha. I want to say thank you for your giving. It's a tremendous blessing, I know, for them. And pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a hand real quick. There you go. Amen. Amen. And also, one more thank you. It's not in your bulletin. I want to say for all of you that made soup or goodies for Christmas in Noble yesterday, the youth and young people and volunteers were able to raise approximately, I don't have the final number, but about another $800, $800 to $900 for Speed the Light. So it has just been awesome. So thank you again. All right, I think I've got them. Again, remember to make sure you know what's going on as we come up. And I'm going to ask our ushers to come this morning. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Look at all these good ushers. All right, I'm going to pray as I come. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to worship and to fellowship with one another. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, God, as we give cheerfully and know that you are going to further your kingdom through these gifts. And Lord, we just pray that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Tear down these idols and every stronghold. Tear down all judgment and all of my pride. We'll tear down religion and all my self-pride. I want an encounter, a real encounter. I say yes, yes, yes to your love, yes to your freedom. I say yes, God, yes to
Yes to you. For we know that you're going to rebuild the things in our lives that maybe seem a little broken today. You're going to restore our lives in areas where we feel like it just can't, we just can't get back to where we were. So we just lay it all at your feet this morning, Lord, and say yes to you. Because all that we really want is more of you. More of you, Jesus. So we just want to take our time this morning and not hurry, but to just worship you, to glorify you, to sing praises to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. We just praise you.
Wanna give give you the space to move in this place. I put aside distractions and lay down all my cares. I give you my attention, God. Make me so just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak, and freedom reigns, and there is hope in every single word you say. I don't wanna miss one word. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. God, we don't want to miss one word that you speak. You know what we need. We pray, Father God, today that you would just meet every need in this place. Lord, I pray for Debbie Rowland, who starts chemo this week. I pray that you would just touch her and that you would be with her, Lord. God, I just pray that you would reach down and do a miracle in her body, that you would remove the cancer. By way of medicine, by way of your almighty touch, you are the great physician. So we just lift Debbie up to you right now. We pray that you minister to her. Lord, we continue to pray for Larry Newell, that you would touch him, for Ray Chambers, for Ruby Bussell, for Brian Kane, who's having surgery in a couple of weeks. We pray that you keep your hand upon him, bring healing to him. For Shirley Grindstaff's three grandchildren who are all sick this morning and one in the hospital. We pray that you would just touch these children today. Lord, for the family whose little 7-year-old daughter was kidnapped and killed in Texas, we just pray for this family today. Lord, I hate to hear stories like this. It lets us know that we live in a very sinful world, a world that needs Jesus. We just pray comfort and peace for this family. We pray for salvation for this 31-year-old man who did it. Lord, we pray that you would just be with Pastor Phil and Kelly as they're on a trip today that they were awarded. I pray that you would just give them a safe time and be with the others, Lord, that are with them. And Lord, we just pray for every other need in this place today. You know what's upon our hearts. You know the things we're facing in each of our individual lives, and we know that you care. And so, Father, we just pray for one another right now that you would just minister to each and every person in this sanctuary and those watching over the live stream. We pray for your healing touch. We pray for miracles. We pray for provision. We pray for healing. We pray for salvation. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for peace. We pray for encouragement. We pray for those who are anxious today, Lord, that their hearts would be quieted and that they would trust you and your love and your plan for their lives. We pray for our nation today. We just pray for our leadership. We pray, Father God, that truth and righteousness would prevail in our country. And we pray, Father God, that a great move of your Spirit would sweep many people into the kingdom of God in this last day. Father, we pray that your will be done in our beloved United States. Father God, just let your Holy Spirit minister in this service today. You know where we all are and what we need, what we're facing. So we just pray right now, and we just invite you, Lord, right now to let your will be done. Let your kingdom come and let your power and your peace settle upon each one of us, Lord, as we go to hear your word and respond to your word. Just let your presence fill every heart right now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I wanted to mention Brother Ben Tipton. How many of you know who Ben Tipton is? One of our retired missionaries. We've supported them for many years. He is going to be 90 on Friday, and his daughter sent me this text, and Kate has made a slide there about it. They're wanting to do a card shower for him, and so you can jot this down, jot that address down. It's not in your bulletin. There on in Moore is her daughter's house, his daughter's house, Rindy Tipton, R-I-N-D-I Tipton, and there in Moore, and you can jot that down, 2133 Lake Crest Drive, Moore, Oklahoma, if you want to send a card for Ben Tipton. I know he would be blessed by that. He's always been such a blessing to the many years that he and his wife, Carmelita, were a part of our church family. We certainly miss them, and he's going to be 90, so let's help him celebrate today. Amen. It's good to see all of you here this morning, and again, I echo what Pastor Jeremy said concerning our truck. Thank you for your giving to raise money for the OU Chi Alpha truck. You did it, and the Lord provided, and we're just so thankful for that. I called Brian, I couldn't think of his name, Brian and Morgan Benedict, they're the Chi Alpha pastors. I've been trying to call him for two or three days to tell him that, hey, good news, we've raised enough money for the truck, and he hasn't returned my call, but he finally texted me this morning. He said, Steve, the reason I've not called you back is on Thursday we had a baby boy, and so they've been at the hospital, so Brian and Morgan have a little boy, August, I don't have it in front of me, but August is his first name. What was it, Carol? August William Benedict, born at 2:30 on Thursday. And so anyway, they've had their hands full, and they're going to be coming, and we'll present them with a check that the Lord provided through you and through your faithfulness. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark as we are continuing our study in the book of Mark called Remarkable. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. We'll read that in just a moment. Thank you for all who came out and helped us decorate on Wednesday night. Doesn't the sanctuary look awesome? Amen. It looks beautiful. I always love our, well, if you're going to give a clap, let's give a clap, okay? Here we go. Yeah. Amen. I always like this looks of this place at Christmas time. It always looks so awesome. This series on Mark we're looking at the life and teachings of Jesus. And today we're going to pick up in the second chapter of Mark at verse 13. And I've titled this message this morning in the words of a well-known hymn. In fact, it's one of my favorites. It's "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." How many of you know that hymn? You've heard of that hymn, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." Let me read the words to that hymn this morning. Just listen to these words. "Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure." The chorus goes, "Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day." Amen. Let's just read these verses. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. "Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him." Everybody say, "got up." "Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests. Along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners," there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. "But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he told them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power and its promises that we can apply to our life. I pray, God, that you would give us hearing ears today. As you said in your word in Revelation, blessed are those who hear. I pray, God, that you would just open our hearts, speak to us in our minds, that we might better serve you and that we might be better involved in your kingdom business. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I've divided these verses that we just read into 3 points as we apply them to our lives. I'll tell you my 3 points for the message. Number one, Jesus calls. Number two, Jesus cares. And number three, Jesus caters. Jesus calls, Jesus cares, and Jesus caters. First of all, Jesus calls. As I began to look at this, I was reminded of something that's been kind of a blessing to me, something that I know, but it just took on a new meaning to me, and that is the fact that Jesus is God. You know that, right? The Trinity, he's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And so when we read in the Bible, Jesus did this, went here, said this, touched these people, said this about a situation, we could say God did that. Just as easy, because Jesus is God. And the Trinity is kind of a complex thing that our minds can't quite grasp at all, but we can safely say that when Jesus went out on the lake shore and Jesus saw Levi or Matthew and Jesus went to his house, God went out on the seashore. God saw Matthew, and God, the creator, omnipotent, almighty, majestic creator of this world, sovereign, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent, God entered into a human house in Jerusalem. Matthew's house. And I know that's true. It just kind of took on a new meaning when you're thinking about it. God went out on that seashore. God went into that house. When you were saved, God, the Creator, came into your heart. It's God that walks with you every single day. It just added a new dimension. Maybe it's just to me. But Jesus does this, but when you think God, the Creator, omnipotent, almighty God, went into Matthew's house. Anyway, I just thought it was cool. So, notice some things in verse 13. It says, Jesus went out. We could say God went out. He didn't stay in and wait for people to come to him. He didn't sit back and say, well, I'm just going to sit here in this house and see who comes to me. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just sit back and wait for us to come to him, but he goes out looking, and he sends us out as his ambassadors to touch other people and to invite them and to pray with them and to do his business for him? So Jesus went out. He went to where people were. Aren't you glad? He knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your life and in your house. And then I notice it says he went out again. He didn't just go out once. He went out again. Any fishermen in here? A few fishermen? Okay. Let me ask you this. Could I safely and correctly call you a fisherman if you only went out fishing one time in your entire life? Could I call you a fisherman? Probably not. You went fishing, but I don't know that I'd call you a fisherman. I've been fishing a few times in my life, but I'm not a fisherman. I'm not somebody. You think when somebody says, I'm a fisherman, they're a person that goes out fishing quite often. And so fishermen go fishing, not just once, but again and again. As believers, we are called to be fishers of men. We read that a few weeks ago, which means it's not a one-time event. It's a continual thing. We are to continually go and to be fishers of men, fishers of people, not just once. As Jesus went out, people came to him. And the same will happen as we go out in behalf and as representing the Lord to seek and to save the lost. The Lord will direct people into your path if you have a heart to want to be a witness for the Lord. Do you believe that? If you have a heart for people and if you want people and you are concerned about their eternal being, God will direct their steps supernaturally across your path where you'll run into them because he's God and he can do that. He'll set up circumstances to where you will represent him in a great and a positive way. As Jesus walked along, the Bible says he saw, everybody say saw, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. I'm glad Jesus sees, aren't you? I'm glad God sees. He saw Levi or Matthew for this sermon. I'm pretty much going to refer to him as Matthew because I think of him as Matthew more than Levi. He saw Matthew sitting there at his booth, just like he saw James and John and Peter and Andrew. Where were they at when the Lord saw them? They were out fishing. They were by their fishing boats. Remember, we saw that a week or two ago when the Lord called James and John and Peter and Andrew. They were out fishing, and the Lord saw them. And you know what? The Lord sees you and I too. The Lord sees you right now sitting in here in this sanctuary. The Lord knows what row you're sitting on. He sees who you're sitting by. He sees that you didn't iron your shirt. No, he didn't see that, no. He sees you this morning. He knows, right? He knows what's going on in your heart and in your life and with your family and in your health and in your finances. Jesus sees. God sees. Just want you to realize that. He sees and then he calls. What does he call us to? A couple of things he calls us to. Number one, he calls us unto salvation. He calls us first and foremost unto salvation. He wants people to be saved. You know what saved is? Saved means that you have repented of your sins. Sin is that thing, those things that separate you from God. Things that we do that are not like Christ. We all do them. The Bible says we're all sinners. Every one of us have sinned. There's nobody in here in this room or nobody that's ever lived on earth except one person who'd never sinned, and that was Jesus. Everyone else has sinned. You were born in sin. And unless you come to the Savior, you're going to die in your sins. And when you die in your sins, you're totally separated from God forever and ever and ever. So it's important that you come to Christ, that you ask him to forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, invite him into your heart, and that you become a new creature. He is born inside of you. That old is gone. The new has come. The past is gone. The future is secure in Jesus. It's important that the world knows the gospel message, the good news, that Jesus is not willing that anybody perish. That he made a way for us to get back to God, to get in right fellowship with God. Sin separated us from God. Jesus brought us back together. He reconciled us. He put us back in fellowship with the Lord. And that's what he has called us. When he calls us unto salvation. Now, Jesus is concerned for the masses, and he is concerned for the individual people. All through the last couple of chapters here in Mark, we see at one moment Jesus is ministering to the masses. And it says, and the crowds came to him. And he touched them and he healed them. And then you'll see him ministering to an individual. You'll see him, he ministered to Peter's mother-in-law when she was sick. He went in and ministered to the young man who was paralyzed when his four friends let him down through the ceiling on a mat. He ministered to him. It's switching back and forth. Masses, individuals. Masses, individuals. Can I tell you, the Lord loves you individually. He doesn't see you just as a big body of Christ, as the church. He loves you and knows you individually. Whether you're one or 101, he knows you and he loves you. He ministers on the street and in the individual homes, wherever the need is. Another thing we notice is Jesus called these guys. He called out to them. James, John, Peter, Andrew, or Matthew, all five of these guys did not run up to Jesus and say, Jesus, can I follow you? Can I follow you, Lord? Can I be on your team? They didn't volunteer. In a sense, they were drafted. Jesus called out to them. Hey, James and John, Peter, Andrew. Hey, Matthew, get up and follow me. As Reverend George Wood puts it in his book, Fearless, he says, we have something in common with the four and with Levi, Matthew. None of us feels worthy enough to follow Jesus. We think he's looking for someone more qualified. He's looking for someone definitely more holy than me. He's looking for someone more eloquent. He's looking for someone that's better prepared. The Lord is looking for someone that's more experienced. He's not looking for someone like me. But here's something to remember. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He wants us to come just as we are. The famous hymn that Billy Graham made famous after every one of his crusades, "Just as I am, without one plea." We come to him just as we are. And he makes us into what he wants us to be. God, in the person of Jesus, called out to Matthew, and then he came to his house. Can I tell you, one of the first things the Lord will do when you come to him is he'll call you to your house. He wants you to be a minister in your house. He went back to his house, and he has not changed. The Lord, if he hasn't already, is calling you, and he wants to come to your house too. He wants to see your family. He wants to meet your friends. Jesus came to Matthew and said, "Follow me and be my disciple." And he has not changed that call for the last 2,000 years. He says to you and to me, "Follow me, be my disciple." He's saying that even this morning, "Follow me, Tim Shortis, be my disciple. Follow me, Stephanie Velasquez, be my disciple. Follow me, Daryl Clark, be my disciple. Follow me, Randy Pitts, be my disciple." He could go all around the room. He's saying it to you, "Follow me." And Matthew responded, verse 14, it says, "So Levi got up and followed him." Matthew could have just sat there and passed on the call. Said, "Hey, I'm good, thanks. I've got plenty of money. I've got a lot of friends. In fact, they're all at my house now, wondering where I'm at. I'm okay, you know. Hey, Jesus, thanks for thinking of me, but no thanks." He could have rejected the call, couldn't he? The Lord doesn't force anybody to follow him. He gives us all the choice. I remember in the Bible, one man who came to Jesus, and Jesus told him to follow him, and he said, "No, I'm good." Remember the rich young ruler? There's a few words that says when he left, it says he went away how? Sad. When he didn't follow the Lord, it says he went away sad. How many of you know we don't follow the Lord, we're going to be sad? We're going to go away sad? And it's really going to be sad one day when we're forever separated from the Lord. But he could have passed. You know, people do that. There's many, many people sat in many, many crusades and many altar calls and heard many of preachers get up and beg and the musicians play and invite people to come forward to accept Christ. And they say, "Well, I'll pass some other day. Not today. Not today. I'll do that another time." Matthew didn't do that. Because had Matthew done that and passed, he would have missed his destiny in life. His purpose and fulfillment in life would have been lost. And there are many out there who are missing out on God's plan for their life, and for the little, and they're exchanging it for a little bit of stew. Follow me in a moment. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. For the little bit of stew that this world might offer. Remember Esau? Esau was the firstborn. He had the birthright. He was entitled for all this blessing to come his way, but he got hungry one day, and now Jacob tricked him, yes. Jacob said, "Hey, give me your birthright, and I'll give you this stew that I'm making. Because I don't care about my birthright. I don't care about the blessing. I'm hungry. Give me that stew." And so Jacob got his birthright. They traded stew for a birthright. There's a lot of people, they're trading the things of this world that are only going to last a short time for the eternal riches of God's blessing in heaven. A little bit of stew. "Oh, I want my stew." Stew's good, but it ain't that good. I'm just glad they didn't say goulash. I would have passed in a moment. Forget that. No, actually, goulash isn't bad. I think it just sounds bad, goulash. I mean, that just sounds like something you don't want to eat, goulash. I mean, at least name it something better. You know, name it stew on steroids or something. I don't know. But forget goulash. My apologies to all of you. Menus today included goulash. I'm sorry. I'm wrecking your meal right now. That wasn't even in my notes. I don't even know where that. The devil must have whispered in my ear. But Matthew would have missed out on God's promise. And that leads me to the second thing that Jesus calls us to. The Lord not only calls us unto salvation, number two, he calls us into service. You see, we are saved to serve, not to sit soaking sour like a sponge. Have you ever had a sponge and somebody spilled some milk and you grab the sponge and you wipe it up and then you just leave the sponge, you don't wring it out? I've gotten in trouble for that more than once, haven't I, Mom? At breakfast time, my brother and I would be having our Cheerios or whatever. We'd spill some milk and just grab the sponge because we're about late for school and mop it up real quick and just throw the sponge. And then you know what happens? Sponge starts stinking. That's a tongue twister almost. Sponge starts stinking. Sometimes as we soak up the Word of God, but we don't do anything with it, we just sit around. We sit soaking sour like a sponge. But the Lord calls us to service. He didn't save us just to leave us, just to let us sit. He saved us so we could go into service for him, so that we could be involved in his kingdom business. We are to follow the Lord. It's an active thing, not a passive thing. It's going and doing. Like Home Depot's slogan the last few years, more saving, more doing. Matthew had to get up and follow. Here's the thing. Matthew had no idea where that decision would lead. He's sitting at his booth, minding his business, filling out some tax papers. Okay, how much does Pastor Phil owe me? Okay, no. Picking on me, he's not even here. Sitting there, and the Lord says, Matthew, come follow me. Be my disciple. Matthew gets up. Now, at that point, does Matthew know anything of what's the future involved? No. He has no idea. All he knows is the Lord said, hey, I need you. Come follow me. Be my disciple. So Matthew gets up, and he starts following. He didn't know that he would write the first gospel in the New Testament. He didn't know that his name would be preached about in thousands and millions of churches for the last 2,000 years as the pastor gets up on a Sunday morning and says, turn to Matthew chapter 12. He didn't know he was going to write the first gospel. He didn't know he was going to be a missionary to Ethiopia, and he didn't know that he was going to die there a martyr at that point. I don't know that he really even knew full, or let me just say this, I don't know that he really understood at the time that he got up and followed, that he would be literally walking and talking with the Son of God for the next 3.5 years. He knew this man, Jesus. Jesus was doing miracles. He was teaching, and he liked Jesus and doing all these great things. But I don't even think that Matthew really comprehended that this was God in the flesh when he asked him to follow. I don't know that any of the disciples until later on really realized who Jesus was. But he would walk and talk with God for 3.5 years before Jesus ascended back to heaven. You see, the Lord never shows us the whole picture from the get-go. I know when the Lord called me into the ministry at age 19 in a revival at my home church in Enid and said, Steve, I want you to go in the ministry. I didn't know what that looked like. All I knew is I had to go back to Southwestern and change my major and take some Bible classes. I had no clue what that would look like at age 19. None of us have a clue what life's going to hold for us, where we're going to go, where we're going to live, what we're going to do, things that are going to happen to us, and so on. But can I tell you this? We can never go wrong if we put the Lord first. If we say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll follow. Matthew had no idea the things that was going to happen to him. I want to share with you a testimony of David Wilkerson. You know who David Wilkerson is? He wrote the famous book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He's the founder of Teen Challenge, Assemblies of God pastor, and he loved the Lord. He was pastoring his little church there in, I believe it was Pennsylvania in the late 50s. But the Lord asked him to do something, and he had no idea where it was going to lead. But let me just read this. On February the 9th, 1958, a young Assemblies of God pastor in a rural town in Pennsylvania was watching The Late Show on TV while his wife and small children were asleep. On that night, he evaluated his life. How much time am I spending in front of the TV each night? He asked himself. A couple of hours at least. What if I sold the TV set and spent that time praying? The next morning, he and his wife agreed to sell their TV if, after putting an ad in the paper, it sold within an hour after the paper hit the streets. Actually, within a half hour. It says, at the 29th minute, he's sitting there watching the TV, looking at the clock, watching the TV, looking at the clock. I read that in another story that about this same thing. At the 29th minute, the phone rang. He answered, you got a TV for sale? Yeah, how much? He says the young pastor had not even thought of the price, but he just instantly said $100. The caller said, I'll take it. I'll be there in 15 minutes. On February the 25th, a late Tuesday evening near the end of his prayer time, just 2 weeks and 2 days after he made the decision to sell the TV, this young pastor was in his study praying and began to feel a great heaviness. He felt an urge to pick up Life magazine, but resisted at first because he didn't want to fall into a trap of reading a magazine on his prayer time. He had been fidgeting that evening. His wife and children had been away visiting grandparents in Pittsburgh. The magazine beckoned to him from his desk. Finally, he said, Lord, is there something you want me to read or see? He sat down in his brown swivel chair and opened the magazine. He leafed along and came to a page that at first seemed to have nothing to interest him. It carried a pen drawing of a trial taking place 350 miles away in New York City, a place he had never been. The eyes of one of the seven figures in the drawing on trial for murder caught his attention. The look in the boy's eyes was one of bewilderment, hatred, and despair. The young pastor began to cry. He said aloud to himself, "What's the matter with me?" He looked at the picture more carefully. The boys were all teenagers. They were members of a gang called the Dragons. They had brutally attacked and killed a 15-year-old polio victim named Michael Farmer. The seven boys had stabbed Michael in the back 7 times with their knives and then beat him over the head with garrison belts. They went away wiping blood through their hair, saying, "We messed him good." The story revolted the young pastor. It turned his stomach. And then a thought came. Go to New York City and help those boys. On Friday morning, the young pastor was in the courtroom, and the rest of the story is history. Had David Wilkerson not given himself to prayer, Teen Challenge would have never happened. Since that time, the ministry of Teen Challenge has transformed hundreds of thousands of lives. Around the world today and every day, 24,000 men and women are currently in a center being set free by the power of Christ. There's a needlepoint in David Wilkerson's office from his daughter, Bonnie. My dad is famous not for who he is, but because he dared to listen when God wanted to hold a conversation. May we also listen when God wants to hold conversation. The early church father, John Chrysostom, expressed it eloquently and succinctly, God can refuse nothing to a praying church. David Wilkerson, like Matthew, never could have imagined what God had in store when they got up and followed. When they got up and followed the Lord's leading in their lives. I'm not sitting here telling you today everybody needs to go out and sell their TV. Although, it might do us a lot of good. The Lord spoke to David to do that because God had something for David to do and to see and to hear that would have never happened. I'm glad David Wilkerson got up and did what God told him to do. Otherwise, we would not have the last 60 years of Teen Challenge. It's ministered to hundreds and thousands of people. I wonder what things do not get done because someone did not get up and follow the Lord's leading. When Jesus calls, may we get up and respond, "Here I am, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do." Not only do we see Jesus' calls in these verses, we also see Jesus cares. First of all, Jesus cares for the seekers. He cared for those who came out to hear him by the lake that day. In fact, it's probably right here when he preached the famous Sermon on the Mount that's recorded in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because Mark doesn't record the famous sermon. It's probably right here when he says he went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds. That's probably when he taught the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, being a tax collector and more studious than maybe the other disciples, took notes, maybe some sort of shorthand on Jesus' sermon. And so he recorded it, and we have it in his gospel, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek. You know, all that whole sermon. Jesus came to teach these people about eternal things. When they came out to him, I'm sure they were thinking, I come out here, I'm going to get my back healed. I'm gonna get my son healed or my daughter. They were probably thinking those things. And Jesus certainly would heal the sick, but he also taught them and told them about eternal things. Folks, we need churches and preachers and Christians that tell people the importance of eternal things. We get it all the time about secular, temporal things that one day are going to be no good. How many commercials on TV advertise clothing and cars that 100 years from now will be in a junkyard or be decayed and rotten in some salvage or some garbage dump? We spend millions on stuff that's going to last just for a while. Eternity's forever. So Jesus cares. He cares about the seekers, those who are willing at least to come out and see what this is about. And let me go see this man called Jesus. And there's people that come to our churches today. Well, let me just see. You know, Grandma always believed. And maybe I need to go check out what Grandma believed and thought about God. I'll find me a church to check into and see what's going on. Maybe somebody's like that here today or watching over the video. The Bible says, he that comes to me, he will in no wise cast out. The Lord loves seekers. The old thing we always hear at Christmas time, wise men still seek him. If you're wise, you're going to seek the Lord and seek the truth. So Jesus cares for seekers. Number two, Jesus cares for the sitters. He's not just talking about the daycare workers or the nursery workers. He cares for the sitters, even those who haven't yet responded in the way that he would like at this point. Are not out of his care. Those who haven't got up yet, they're still sitting. He will continue to use preaching and teaching and the wooing of the Spirit to get them to get up and follow the lead and to be his disciple. There's still people that are trying to decide, do I want to follow? Do I not? Do I want to get serious with God or do I not? And like I said, maybe someone here today or watching over the live stream has yet to respond to the Lord's call and you are still sitting. Don't wait any longer. Yes, the Lord cares for the sitters, but there's going to come a time when time will be no more. There's going to come a time when you won't have a way to respond because it will be over. Your destiny is at stake. Your family is at stake, sir. Your children are at stake, mom. Your future. Nothing in this world is more important than getting up and following Jesus. So Jesus cares for the seekers and he cares for the sitters. Number three, he cares for the sinners. Verse 16 says, but when the teachers of religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? Sinners, scum, as the religious leaders called them, were people Jesus chose to hang out with. Now, did he hang out with them to endorse their sin? Did he hang out with them to say, hey, whatever you're doing, it's cool, it's okay, if it was wrong? No, he didn't hang out with them to endorse their sin. He hung out with them to endear their hearts to the truth and the love of God. Jesus didn't side with them on their sin. He sided with them with his love to teach them and to point them in the right direction, into a better direction, a better way. To tell them of the love of God and the hope of heaven. Jesus takes in, everybody say takes in. Jesus takes in those in sin. Dr. Wood says in his book, in the earlier years of his ministry, Billy Graham was frequently criticized for associating with members of Christian traditions different from his own. He defended himself with this poem. He drew a circle that shut me out, rebel, heretic, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. He drew a circle that took me in. That's exactly what Jesus does for us, and with Levi and with Matthew and with James and John and all of his sinner friends, he takes them in. Aren't you glad you were taken in by Jesus? He took you in. Even when you weren't right with him, even when you were still sinners, as Romans 5:8 says, he commended his love toward you and cared for you when you didn't give a rip about him. He still was reaching out, caring for you, saying, hey, I care about you. I love you. I got plans for you. I got a world of a blessing for you. I've got eternal life for you. I want to help you. I want to help you find life and life more abundantly. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. So Jesus cares for the seekers, and the sitters, and the sinners. Number four, he also cares for the self-righteous. Verse 17, when Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. You see, Jesus heard the words of the self-righteous Pharisees, and he cared enough for them to tell them the truth. One of the greatest Pharisees of all became one of the greatest followers of all when the Lord called him out to him by a blinding light. And who was that? Paul the Apostle. Saul the persecutor became Paul the Apostle and preacher of the gospel. I think of another Pharisee who was self-righteous. Nicodemus was a Pharisee at one time, but just a little talk with Jesus in John 3 made him right. He even cares for the self-righteous. Those who think they are cool with everything, but in reality they're not. Not only do we see Jesus calls, Jesus cares. Last of all, number three, Jesus caters. The entire five verses we read as our text this morning screams the fact that Jesus caters to those who are sick and need a doctor. The whole passage. Because Matthew was sick at that booth, he may not have realized it. He had all the money because tax collectors were wealthy. They tend to take their share above and beyond the government's thing. They were despised. I'm sure the other disciples weren't really, 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 really thrilled when Matthew came along. I'm joining your group. Oh, great. I'm sure Peter, James, and John, and Andrew all weren't real happy when Matthew said, I'm one of you now. Sometimes we may not be so happy when somebody that we don't see eye to eye with or don't agree with or don't look like us or act like us wants and joins our group. God help us. That's another whole sermon. The great physician loves to be called upon by healing or for healing the heart, the mind, the body. He came that those who come to him in repentance and faith could receive life and life everlasting. As his followers, we are to cater to the lost as well. We are to draw a circle and take them in. In conclusion, it's time for us to get out of our comfort zones and seek to build relationships with the lost people around us. Did you know there's some lost people in Noble? Do I need to tell you that? No. You know that. There's lost people all around us. And unless they come to Christ as their Savior, we'll be lost forever. But the good news is, you and I, as Christians, have the good news that there is a way out. There's a way that they can be found. There's a way that they can be set free. There's a way that they can know life. There's a way that they can be healed. There's a way that they can experience Christ and his miracle-working power in their life. We have the good news. And Jesus explained in these verses, and especially verse 17, that he was like a doctor. Physicians don't do any good when they open their offices only to the people that are well. The other night, my throat was hurting so, so bad. I couldn't even hardly swallow on Tuesday night. I went by the urgent care at about 4:30, and it was packed wall to wall everywhere with people and cars. I walked in, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Can I tell you, there wasn't anybody there. Oh, we're well. We just want to come in and sit down for a little bit. There wasn't anybody there on their way home. I just want to pull into Class in Urgent Care and just hang out here. Looks like a nice place. Everybody in that room was coughing, and, you know, I just felt like I was walking into sickness. So what did I do? I walked back out, sore throat and all. I'm not waiting. This is crazy. I've never seen it that full. I mean, it looked like Black Friday at Class in Urgent Care. So I went home, and my throat got more sore and more sore. I told Carol, I said, I can't even hardly swallow. I can't even eat. My throat hurts so bad. So about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I thought, I need to go get some help. I can't even swallow. So I called down there. I said, hey, I was by there earlier, and you all were, to say the least, really busy. Is there still a lot of people there? No, there's a few, but not bad. I bet if you come on down, we can see you in about 30 minutes. All right, I'll be there. So I went down there, and they had me in there in just a few minutes. I found out that if you have a bad ear infection, which I didn't know I had, because they said, we're going to test you for all these things. So they tested me for COVID, and they tested me for flu, and they tested me for strep, and they said, it's all negative. I said, then why does my throat hurt so bad? The guy said, well, let me look in your ear. So he looked in this ear. Well, that looks good. Looked in my throat. Yeah, a little sore. He looked in this ear. He goes, oh, my goodness. I thought he found something horrible in there, you know. He goes, man, you have a really, really bad ear infection in this ear. I said, well, my ear hurts a little, but I've had earaches all my life. I know what a bad earache feels like. He goes, no, when you're an adult, your tubes get a little bigger and it drains in your throat. I thought, oh, that's gross. But he said, nevertheless, it will give you a very, very bad sore throat if you have a bad ear infection. So I learned something. The point is, everybody that was there except the doctors and the nurses and the people at the front desk were sick. They don't open their doors so all us well people can drive by and just drop in and say howdy. They open their doors so sick people like I was that night can get well and start taking some antibiotics that I've been on now for 3 or 4 days. And we open these doors here. Yes, there's Christian people here, and there should be, because we're also here to learn and to grow and to become more like Jesus. But we open these doors so that people that need a doctor can come in. And you and I are the doctor's hands extended. We serve the great physician, the chief physician, the God of this universe, and he uses us to touch those who are sick. Doctors are for sick folk, and Jesus came for sinners. In conclusion, let me share with you one last testimony. It says, one of our young ministers tells the moving story of how he and a small group around him planted a church in a new community. They spent 9 months making friends before they even launched a public service. One evening a week, they wrote on a long sheet of butcher paper the names of the new friends they had met that week. They prayed over each name while the list grew to over 900, most of all of whom were non-Christian. In fact, before they held their first Sunday service, this young minister conducted a funeral for a young husband and father whom he had befriended while sitting on a park bench and ultimately led to the Lord. Is it any wonder that people were saved at the funeral? On the first Sunday they launched, 283 people attended, and 28 people came to Christ. What did this young minister and his friends do? Exactly what Jesus did. They built relationship with sinners. May we go and do likewise. Will you follow where Jesus leads? Will you get up and follow and say, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I want to be your hands extended. I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your heart. Forgive me, Lord, when I get so busy in my own heart, in my own life, in my own world, in my own calendar, that I don't care about those around me. Father, I pray that you help us today to be a church with your heart. Be a church with your hands. Lord, sometimes we get caught up in our own worlds and we forget about the worlds of people who are headed to hell. Lord, I pray that this place would be a lighthouse. I pray that each one of us would be lighthouses to a hurting world. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to remember that at one time we were right where they are. At one time we were on the wrong road, we were headed to hell, and we had no hope. I pray that you help us remember that, always remember that, because really there's no difference between us and the worst sinner. The only difference is the grace of God. We aren't any better. We aren't any worse. We're all sinners, saved by grace, saved by God, saved by his love, his care. Lord, help us to cater to the lost. Help us to cater to those who need you. Forgive us, Lord, as a church. Forgive us as individuals when we take our eyes off of that calling. Help us to get up. Help us to get up like Matthew did and follow you. Wherever it is, whatever it is you tell us to do, help us to be willing to do that. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that their first thing that they would do would be to get up and to follow you. That they would say, Jesus, be merciful to me. Come into my heart. In fact, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there anyone here today? You'd say, Pastor Steve, the Lord's been talking to me all through this sermon this morning. I sense the Holy Spirit calling me to follow him in my life. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I'm headed to heaven, but I want to know that today. Pastor Steve, would you and the church pray for me today? I'm not ashamed to raise my hand because I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want to go to heaven. Is that you today? Just lift up your hand and put it back down. Anyone here today? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else here today? You don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want to know him today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. How many of you here today would say, Pastor Steve, I need to be a better witness. I need to cater more to the lost that the Lord puts in my path. Can I see your hand? Hands all over. That's right. That's right. God help us. If you need prayer this morning before we receive communion, if you need prayer, I want you to invite you right now to come down and let me pray with you. If you need prayer, if you wanted salvation, let me pray with you right now. There was one or two that raised their hand. Let me pray with you right now before we go any further. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares. Jesus died on the cross to give you eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. I want to wait just a moment, and then we're going to have communion. But if there's anybody that you would like special prayer for salvation or for drawing closer, I know we all can draw closer. I'm not to say that none of us have arrived. I mean, that is so true. We're all moving closer to the Lord, but you just know that I need to respond to this message today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. The men who are going to come to serve communion, would you come right now? The musicians are going to come and sing a song while we pass out the communion elements. If you're a believer here today, we invite you to join us at the Lord's table. We're going to do it all together. When you get the element, just hold it in your hand. And we will do them all at the same time today. Go ahead, ladies.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. And sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe.
Thank you, Lord.
Broke my chains, freed my soul.
Hallelujah.
For the first time. Inside my tomb of sin, you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting and life has no end, for I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning. It says in the book of Corinthians, for I pass on to you what I receive from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Let's take the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Lord, we thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your bread, the blood that represents your broken body and the blood you shed for our sins. Lord, we receive this by faith and in appreciation and thankfulness for your grace and your love that washed us, that made us righteous, that put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, that promised us eternal life in heaven. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to serve you. Let us do our best to be about calling others as you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just thank the Lord? Lift your hands if you wanted to say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Go ahead and sing that last song or as we close today, but let's just worship the Lord. They have one last song here, and I believe it just really sets us into an attitude of heart and worship towards the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll dismiss here in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
You speak. And my fears grow dim.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Every word burning deep within.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am overwhelmed again. I am overwhelmed again. You never stop singing your love to me. Stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you. 'Cause I love you. To your I love you. 'Cause I love you.
Never changing, never failing, your love makes
the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love yous, 'cause I love you.
Your I love yous,
'cause I love you.
Your I love you, 'cause I love you.
Praise God. Don Caldwell, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence today. And Lord, we thank you for the great gift that you've given us of life, and that more abundantly, Lord. We thank you for forgiveness, for mercy and grace, for all of those things that we too often take advantage of. But Lord, we thank you for your love that's poured out upon us. Lord, I pray that we would recognize it more in this time, Lord, and that we would be more willing to share it with others, Lord, because how can we not share the love of Christ? Lord, you've done so much for us. Lord, I pray that you would stay with us as we go out from this place. Keep us safe. Bring us back again together, Lord, so that we might worship you and learn from you. And Lord, help us to encourage others to come and be a part of this good thing that you're doing. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.